Good evening and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains. I'm your host, AJ, and we've got Red in the house, and it's just going to be us two tonight. Red, is that a back scratcher you're using?
Shit, I got paint on my forearm. Yeah, I am using a back scratcher. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, well, before we got on the stream, I was painting the trim on the outside of this hall here. And so, yeah, it's going to look nice after I'm done with that thing. It's going to look nice. What's up, Deer?
Who's Slumboards? I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's Miller. That's our boy from the East Coast. He runs Ordinary Comics. Great seller. Buy some stuff from him. He's usually on every other night selling books. So add on to his Facebook page, Ordinary Comics.
Okay. All right. How's the house looking so far with all the painting?
House itself, it's looking nice. It's looking nice. So the only problem is when I'm routing the Ethernet on the roof, it's just I'm falling through the ceiling because there's not enough support up there. So now I got holes need to be patched up in the ceiling now.
Wait, you're routing the Ethernet yourself?
Yeah. It's easy. It's just I'm fat and it's tight. What's up, Eric? Yeah, Ethernet routing is fine. It's easy shit. Plus, connecting the Cat 6 wires to the actual Ethernet cable, it's cake. Real cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the bottom first floor all done and everything or what?
I'm waiting on the kitchen and the garage, but that's gonna be the last item after I'm done with the second floor. And so probably hopefully by next week this room is gonna be all done up. And then I'll probably have everything all decorated and painted some nice tan going on here. But it's going to look good. It's going to look good. It's going to have that nice fresh paint smell. It's going to be nice.
So, I mean, if the next time I come down there or come up there, it's going to look like a completely different house or what?
Yeah. I've done some upgrades. Furniture, however, is going to be a little bit problematic because that's what needs to be upgraded afterwards is the furniture. But everything else, electronics, outlets, Ethernet's going to be running fine. So you're going to have a plug every room. I got Wi-Fi expanders all over each floor. You know, I've got flat screen TVs in each room now. And I just need to upgrade the rest of the furniture, like couches and beds and you know, all the stuff to make it look pretty.
Nice.
I mean, it looks, your place, you know, I know your landlord. He hasn't come by to paint anything yet, has he?
No.
He's also busy with the family.
Yeah. Well, let's get into what people want to tune in for, which is pop culture stuff. It's been a while since we've been on.
Yeah, our last stream was the Monday before Valentine's Day, and we kind of took a break after that because you were kind of all life was just getting in the way. So sorry, we apologize to you guys, our audience, that you know we haven't like announced anything. Plus, we're kind of running behind on that thing for Quento because E-Man was supposed to contact us about the winners, and then we're supposed to send out those books. But E-Man's also been busy.
Yeah, man. I mean, real life. Has pretty much taken control of us, Luke.
Because you work in the really public sector that it requires your so much attention and that you can't really get any free time out of it, you know, since your Uncle Sam is all up on your ass.
Yeah, my job gets me pretty busy.
For me, I'm up and down. My market is, you know, as it ebbs and flows, but. We'll all try to make time during this week to fulfill you guys how we're doing here. Don't worry, we're not dead. We're not missing, you know, like some, you know, unfortunate happened to one of our DJs and our local radio stations here that he ended up running away or just disappearing. He did a Wade Wilson and just disappeared because he has some kind of ailment that he didn't want to burden anyone anymore.
Did they ever find out what happened to him?
Not yet. He's still remaining missing, but it's his wife is devastated, but she has yet to reveal anything. And his best friend, his old radio partner, he's also in the loop of things. So, but he's been posting, you know, flashback pictures from back in her old radio days and like during the mid 90s and such, or you know, during our prime as teenagers and listening to that station. So it seems like he's still alive, but again, he's pulling a Wade Wilson where he's probably in some kind of, you know, black market hospital where he's trying to get better. If not, he's totally dead.
Oh man. Hey, whatever happened to, I think I've asked this on the podcast before, but Theo, I mean, did they ever, whatever happened to that guy?
I thought you knew. I thought he was in Hawaii.
No,
I've heard him. No, that's not Theo. That's Victor Saragossa. He's the one. He's the one that the station down there at K-Day. I think it's
Victor. Who, Theo?
No, Victor Saragossa. He's in Hawaii.
Okay, yeah, because I remember he was he was in the Bay, and then he came down to L.A. And then I don't know what happened. Now, no, he doesn't DJ anymore.
Looks like he's got a website up. He's been DJing since 1992.
No, that's a different Theo.
A different.
I've looked him up before, and there's two Theos.
Well, 92 to beat Theo. That's not him. That's. I don't know then. I don't know. If anybody knows what happened to Theo from MTV, let us know.
Theo Mizuhara. Whatever happened to that guy? That's it.
Thanks for listening, Luther. Luther has it on, like, streaming in the background while he's doing the sales as well. Yeah, Herbs, Mondays haven't been the same. Neither are Tuesdays. It's you know, life happens. Luke has taken back, not taken back full time, but he's back in the teaching gig, so that's why you haven't seen any of the sales. And E-Man has been like inundated with honey do lists. So he's all he has to do is, you know, take care of the kids and work, you know. But you know, it's good for the family that he's doing all these stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Red, you watched Ant-Man 2. Is it 2 or 3? Is it 2 came out, right?
3. Ant-Man 2 is Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's the second movie. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, that's the third movie in this trilogy.
I'm just going to put Ant-Man 3.
Yeah.
So what did you think about it? At this point, do you know what? I don't even think I'm going to watch it in the theater. It's been 2 or 3 weeks, so you can spoil the hell out of it if you want.
Yeah, I'll still keep it ambiguous enough that way you can enjoy it when you see it on Disney Plus. It's, you know, we get a lot of the story in the Quantumania realm, and we get to meet some new people. We get to see Bill Murray play one character. I forgot who it was, but it's very short and not so funny, but he's in it. And there's a lot of Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie as far as like her character development is concerned. Michael Douglas's character is a supporting role. Who's the chick? I can't remember the chick, but she plays the Wasp, also only a supporting role. And so, and they also changed out the daughter from Endgame.
They made her older, right?
No, they swapped her out totally. The totally different actress. So you've got three different actresses that played Ant-Man's daughter. So Cassie Lang, they look the same, but you know, but different, different chick. You get to deal with your same old Paul Rudd, where he's the happy-go-lucky dad and takes care of the people around him, but yet just seems that like he doesn't have the killer instinct. But I think Kang brings it out of him, and we find out that at the end that we're dealing with more than just one Kang. So the world of Kangs or whatever name is, We get to see that at the post-credit scenes. The Kang that they defeated during the main movie was the one that they had kicked out of the group. And so now, you knowing his power level and compared to the guys that the next Kang's coming up, it's going to be epic for the Kang Dynasty movie.
So then the Kang that they defeated is not like Kang Prime.
What's that?
He's not Kang Prime, pretty much.
Not Kang Prime, but he was one of the powerful ones, but compared to the main one, which they haven't pointed out, was that his power level is a lot more. Then we also get a preview of Loki season 2 for one of the post-credit scenes. He also deals with another version of Kang.
Okay. No other like, you know how like at the end of Shang-Chi where like there was something that they needed to like, who was it? What's the Sorcerer Supreme right now?
Sorcerer Supreme?
Yeah, what's his name? Wong. Yeah. Remember how he was at the end and then they had to do something? It didn't lead into anything like that?
Well, that's somehow supposed to play into, it was the Eternals and possibly what was happening in the quantum realm, but they didn't divulge in that information. We were still left guessing what and where and what was that signal from. Maybe we'll get that in the next Shang-Chi movie, or we'll probably get that in Guardians of the Galaxy this May. Herb says, I don't think he even filmed with other people. He could have just filmed it by himself. Most likely, because in the last post-credit scene with the Kangs, there was so many CGI versions of Kang. It filled up a stadium. It was crazy. So you're going to expect variants upon variants of Kangs.
So what would you grade it?
Oh, entertainment-wise, action. It was entertaining. Action was filled. Story was constant. There was a full couple of dull parts. I'm really disappointed that Luis was not in there, but I understand why, because Luis does not have an Ant-Man costume to jump in the quantum realm with them. I graded it a 9.2.
9.2. Does it make you look forward to see what Kang has to offer as a villain?
Dude, Jonathan Majors is a force to be reckoned with. He's an awesome actor, and he can play the street, he can play Shakespearean, he can be serious, he can be funny. That guy makes you believe that he is this benevolent character, that he's gonna be the guy that, you know, that's gonna top Thanos and as being the new baddie in the MCU. Did the CGI ruin it for you? No, it did not. It's honestly, I'm blind. It doesn't matter to me. I wouldn't be able to see the CGI pixels anyway. I mean, there was a couple, or there was like the many, I won't say the variants, but the where
Ant-Man, the multiple,
yeah, the multiple Ant-Man were in that little, I guess, quantum battery that he had to jump into the shrink. You know, the CGI was really strong in that area, but the thing that makes you focus was the version of Scott Lang in his Baskin Robbins costume that makes you forget that the CGI around him. It's the focus. They show it to you that you have to be at that point of the story. You don't have to wonder what else is going on in the background.
Right. Did they tie into any Avengers stuff at all?
Oh, let me think. I mean, there's just tying the button from Endgame, and then tying the button for Spider-Man.
There's a Spider-Man reference?
Because in the beginning scene, Ant-Man gets called Spider-Man by one of his fans.
Oh, okay.
And I think Ant-Man had mentioned something about the Spider-Man storyline, but again, I have to go watch it again in order to repeat it.
All right. Look who we've got on board.
Hey! Long time no see, partner! Your volume is not up.
Yeah, we can't hear you, man.
We have no mic. You didn't know? No, we can't hear you. You guys better call somebody. Check your mic.
Okay, we can't hear anything. No, can't hear you.
Now you can hear me.
Oh, now we can. Yeah.
Loud. Yeah.
Now it's loud.
What's up? It's loud? Is it high?
Yeah, it's a little on the higher level, but it's
what about right. What about now? Is it better? Check. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, you're still ugly though.
You're just jealous. You wish you could have this beautiful, magnificent-looking face.
We're still going to donate our hair to our bald friends, right?
What? Who's donating what to wear? I'm not donating shit. I didn't agree to anything like that.
I thought the whole point of growing our hair out was we're gonna donate it to our balding friends.
You know what? I'm pretty sure some of our friends do need some. Some stuff. Herbs, what's up, Herbs? Man, what's going on? Slumboards in the house.
I lost my back hair, so everything can connect.
People are hanging out with us tonight. That's dope. I like it. I like it.
E-Man, how was Ant-Man 3 for you?
Oh yeah, it was freaking. I don't know. I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, well, no. All right.
Check 1, 2. Hold on. All right, what about now? How's my mic? I'm just trying to check my levels.
Not the same.
It's about the same.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Okay, no, I didn't get to watch Ant-Man yet. I just haven't had any time to go watch the movie. Like I've been like I'm behind on Ant-Man. I didn't watch this week's
Mandalorian,
The Last of Us. I watched The Mandalorian. Have we talked about it yet?
We're just about to.
Were we really? Oh yeah. Man. Mandalorian season 3. We are about to get into this. This is the reason why everyone comes to the C-List Villains podcast to listen to our thoughts on things like The Mandalorian.
What are yours, man?
I didn't like it.
Whoa, really?
I was highly disappointed. It was a half an hour episode. Okay. You know, a lot of questions were not answered. It was just kind of like, all right, plop, here you go. Grogu's now back with Mando. And it's like, what the fuck? Wait, hold on. Did we miss something? So we actually ended up going back to like the end of season 2 to see what happened. And that's when Luke took Grogu with him. So we're like, what?
Wait, you don't remember?
You didn't watch Book of Boba Fett, did you?
Oh, I did watch Book of Boba Fett. That's right. He called for him and he was the Jedi that answered. Or he was the one that answered. That's right.
That was the second and last episode of Book of Boba
Fett.
For Mandalorian.
I forgot that freaking Boba Fett was Mandalorian season 2.5.
That's right, Herbs. Yeah, I did get Tron Legacy vibes from Ant-Man 3.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Especially the club scene.
Did it look like it would have been a good 3D movie?
No.
No? Okay. I'm a sucker for 3D movies, that's why.
Are you really? Did you watch Avatar?
No, I didn't. That's
you're not a big enough sucker then, because that's like a gorgeous movie to watch in 3D.
You know, the thing is, I had completely wanted to, but now I don't think it's available in 3D anywhere.
Check, because they're trying to keep it out as much as possible. I'm pretty sure you'll find a theater around your area that's got it. You're in SoCal, man. There's a lot of theaters around you. Find it in 3D. It is worth it because.
Yeah, it'll probably have to be a matinee show.
It feels very immersive. Like it was a fantastically.
The first one felt like that. To me.
Yeah, highly. It was. I felt like number 2 looked so much better than number 1. It was just more gorgeous. It was. Here's the thing, though. The story was still kind of basic. It was a fantastic eye candy, but it was kind of basic still.
So the first one was pretty much Pocahontas. So which one was this one?
Fern Gully. The first one was Fern Gully. The second one, I don't know, man. I don't know which one it was, but it was definitely something that was already told. You know, like the hero.
It was already a rehash movie, right?
Rehash of like other like
movie has some kind of rehash from something else.
you know, there was Polynesian culture involved in this, and it was like there was a scene and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, did they actually go there? And I'm like, okay, all right, you know, they're trying to include everyone universally, so like, okay. Overall, the movie was absolutely gorgeous. Highly recommend to watch it in the movie theater. But it, you know, you watch it at home, you're not going to capture the same thing. Like you watch a Marvel movie in the movie theater, right? You can still watch it at home and still have just as good of a time, right?
Yeah.
Except for like really, really big ones, you know. But a movie like this needs to be watched in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But yeah, I didn't watch Ant-Man just yet, and then Mandalorian. Yeah.
So what was it that you didn't like him? Because I actually liked the episode. That's why. So
it felt very rushed. The pacing was so fast. It was hard to keep up. It was just not what I was used to, right? Because Mandalorian season 1 and 2
episodes right off the bat. But since they gave us Book of Boba Fett, that they can jump into the story right away with this episode.
I still don't feel like the pacing should have been the way it was. I felt like it was just too fast, too quick. It felt like they were just trying to get season 3 out as quickly as possible. And I didn't like that feeling.
That's time with that thing.
But that was
all right. So what are your thoughts on the show, Red?
No, I was you jump into the Mandalore story arc already. If you haven't watched Book of Boba Fett's second to last episode, then yeah, you'd be surprised how come Grogu is with Din Djarin again. You get the resurrection of IG-88, you know, or the soon to be resurrected IG-88.
Wait, is that what he is? I thought it was a different IG.
IG-88 was the kill robot that was sent out to kill Grogu in the very first episode of Mandalorian.
For some reason, I thought they called him like IG-12 or something like that, but I don't know.
Well, IG-88, and then what else? You get a tie-in story, not tie-in, but you get an update where Cara Dune is, because most likely that chick is not going to come back, and then you get the Mandalore ethos where, you know, why is Din Djarin going to Mandalore? He has to go swim in the lakes of Lake Minnetonka in order for
sins. He's gotta go swim and cleanse himself in the rivers underneath Mandalore, not Minnetonka.
Lake Minnetonka.
I did like the Mandalore part of the Mandalorian where I came back, I'm asking for forgiveness. If you want to cleanse yourself, this is what you have to do. It's that story of this is an impossible mission and it cannot be accomplished and you're still going to try, you know? So we're already setting up what the season feels like it's going to be. And I like that aspect. Other than that, I just felt like the pacing was just too quick.
Okay. I actually liked the episode. I was surprised that it was quick, but I was satisfied. I don't think I could do hour-long shows. It's very hard for me these days. 30-40 minutes is just about right, if you ask me.
Well, look, and there's no commercials on that thing.
I think 45 minutes is a sweet spot nowadays. I think sometimes hours are too long. Like The Last of Us can be too long because it's a very slowly paced show. It's a great show, fantastic show. But with a show like this, I feel like 45 minutes is a sweet spot. 30 is too short. 50-55 is too long.
I could see that.
As long as Robert Rodriguez is not directing any more of the Mandalorian episodes.
Oh, yeah. We got to take him out. Yeah. I did like the whole... Okay. I like the lore of... I like the fact that we're getting more of the Mandalorian... cult or whatever you want to call them.
Culture.
Exactly.
Culture. Let's talk culture. About the cult.
I thought it was a little off. I thought the opening scene where they have to, where like that kid was getting baptized and then they had to fight that alligator thing.
The crocodile. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that made them look a little weak because like they're supposed to be badass warriors and like they couldn't figure out how to take this thing down.
Well, I mean, it is a huge dinosaur moving, you know, at the speed of light. Like, they stood their ground, man. They were strong. They stood their ground, and I personally don't think that thing made them look weak. I felt like, like, no, this is what we need to do right now. And I felt like they put their two shit. Their two
well, here there. here's my thing. If they're like these elite soldiers, how come they? I mean, the one who was doing the baptizing, right away knew something was off, right? And right when that thing attacked, you would have thought they had like a organized way, like, okay, you guys do this, you guys do that. But everyone seemed to be kind of like doing their own thing. And then when one thing worked, then they all tried to do it. There was no like plan of action or no way, like organization.
Well, I mean, how can you organize something like that since it was...
planet, they don't know the native animals in that planet yet. That's why they're taking this.
Yeah, that's what I was getting out of that too. Like they didn't know.
They're not used to animals outside of Mandalore.
Yeah, and on top of that, like when they were shooting like the grapple from their arms, like there was a group of them doing that, right? There was tactic that did go behind it, but yeah,
that's it. Tactic. There was no tactical formation or anything.
No. Well, actually, I think there was. I thought there was. You know, there was a group that was doing the flying. There was a group that was on the ground. There was a group that was actually in the water. I think I felt like they covered the military and represented the military.
I didn't feel like that because there wasn't one person giving the orders.
True, but it was also one of those things where everyone had a responsibility that they knew that they needed to take.
Yeah,
in a way, I kind of like that one. I kind of like that opening scene.
Okay, yeah, that I didn't like, but I did like to see all the cool uniforms and the styles that they have. You know,
yeah. Now, do they all have like different meaning, or is it just one of those like it's a custom thing for this person and? And like the design of the suit and the helmets don't really mean certain things like ranking. Is it just individualized?
All ranking, it's all just custom.
I think so too. Unless you're in a particular, like, I guess, army group or infantry, maybe, you know.
I still like the idea, you know, fast forwarding a little bit. I still like the idea that Bo-Katan is still involved and she wants all of Mandalore, right? So we're getting different factions and different people of Mandalore and the Mandalorian people, right, with different views. And I kind of like that at that part right there because it does tell you that Mandalore wasn't a unified planet and it wasn't, you know, everyone thinks the same, even though we're getting that idea from, you know, Din Djarin and his crew.
Yeah, the religious zealots of Din Djarin's group don't take off their helmets. Well, the political faction of
Bo-Katan,
they have a little bit more liberal as far as like what their rules are with their I guess uniform.
Now, who was the young chick that was flying with Ezra in Rebels? That little Mandalorian girl.
She's gonna be in Ahsoka Tano.
Okay. Are we gonna?
I forgot her character name.
Are we gonna get her here? And did you guys catch the Ezra Easter egg with the squids in the?
No.
In the warp, well, they were flying in warp. Yeah.
That's an Ezra reference.
That's an Ezra reference. Yeah, that squid. I was like, wait a minute, I know that. Because that was one of the few episodes of Rebels that I actually did get to watch, and I remember that aspect of Ezra going light speed, and he had like something going on with the squids and the tentacles, and that's what that was. That was supposed to be a reference to Ezra. Okay. So apparently, we're going to be getting like a Rebels crossover here, which I'm actually kind of excited for.
No, yeah. Dave Filoni created those characters, so you're going to get teases here and there until you get Ezra at the end of Ahsoka.
Ezra and Thrawn, right? Yeah. That's
the idea with Ahsoka, right? Thrawn,
yeah. I think the thing is they haven't even cast, or I don't know if they're keeping a secret. We don't know if and when Ezra's going to show up.
Because Ezra is force sensitive, but he's not a Jedi, yeah?
Right, yeah. Okay. One question. So when they baptized that kid and they gave him the helmet, do we assume as he gets older, like, they upgrade the helmet?
I was thinking that too. I was like, that's, oh wait, this is like a 13, 14 year old kid. That head's going to get big. He might even get fat. Like, do they allow that? Is there wiggle room in there? Is there like
they get new uniforms?
I would hope so. Yeah.
They melt down and then add more metal to it in order to get to build them a new bucket.
I was thinking the same thing. It was like, What if his head gets hella big, dude?
And yeah, because he's like still a kid. I'm like, all right, he's not an adult yet. So.
Yeah, but most Mandalorians are start off from younglings, and then yeah, they grow into the thing.
I would think that chick, I keep forgetting what her name is, but that lead chick, I would think that she would develop and
Mandalorian Smith or whatever you call it.
Mando Smith. No, it wouldn't be Mando Smith. Wouldn't it be Beskar Smith?
That's it.
The Beskar Smith. Okay, we'll call her Beskar Smith for now. But I would think, since she's the one that's creating like all of the uniforms and she's the one that's actually handling the Beskar, that she would be the one updating everyone's uniform and outfits.
I would hate to have that job, man. Like, what did say?
What did you do?
That's her E-Man.
What? What did I do?
Beskar Smith comment.
Beskar Smith. That makes sense, right? Come on, AJ. Back me up. Beskar Smith.
That's the name you got to give me.
That's the problem. Harbulary batteries. Hold on. Woman, Mandalorian. What's her name? Leader,
but like I was saying, I need to have a job because everyone's depending on her to like make their uniform, dude.
Okay, hold on.
I think she'd have an apprentice by now, right?
Hold on. Here's her name. Check this out. You guys ready? She's the leader of the tribe of Mandalorian warriors on the planet Navarro. Her name officially, as of right now, the Armorer. The Armorer. I thought it would have been something cool, like, you know. Sheena, you know, Isle or something like that. I don't know. It's just a cool name, but she's just
played by Emily Swallow.
Let's see.
Voiced by?
Because portrayed by Emily Swallow. Yeah. Hold on. Body double is Lauren Mary Kim. Okay, so
that's voiced by.
Well, body double as far as like during the action.
Who's Emily? Who's this Emily Swallow? I don't even know.
She was at what do you call it? At a Fan Expo. That was one of the guests.
Oh, she was?
She was.
Oh, I still don't know her. I'm like looking at her IMDb. She was on Supernatural. She was Amara. What else? She was in SWAT, The Book of Boba Fett. She voiced Castlevania. She was in The Last of Us Part Two. She was Emily in the video game. Okay. Still don't know her. Okay.
Well. Question. If Din Djarin does his little what are we calling it? His repentance or whatever. If he takes off his mask again, does he have to do it over again? Or like once he does it, does that mean like he just could take off his mask, like whatever?
It seems like it's Catholicism, being a Catholic, right? Where he can sin all of a sudden now, like you have to go confess to the priest, go pray, and then it's like, hey, now you're free to sin again.
I was thinking the same thing. Because in Christianity, in order for you to be forgiven of your sins, really all you got to do is just literally just ask for forgiveness right there and then. I was wondering the same thing. Does he just go get baptized again?
you go do your five Hail Marys and three Our Fathers, and then yeah, don't pick up your helmet again.
What if he does though? What if he does? Like, does he have to keep doing it?
He's got to go back and do his five Hail Marys.
He's got to go jump in back in the Lake Minnetonka.
That's so funny. Dude. I think he's right though. I think he's got to jump back right in the lake.
He's gonna
baptize himself again, but he's a born again Mandalorian.
I mean, then at that point, if he was smart, if he has to bring some sort of relic, you might as well just grab like 10 of them, right? That way, anytime he's caught with his mask off, he's got like, I've already repented. Here's my
most likely he'll find out that payment. He didn't have to go get purified in Minnetonka, and that the religion was bullshit, and now he's controlling the rest of the Mandalore.
I think you're right, Red. I think you're onto something there. I think eventually he's gonna find something wrong with the group, where he's still gonna have those values but not have the same beliefs for some reason. And I think it's because of Grogu. That little bastard fucked him up. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that he's going to go through the Anakin way, or yeah, he'll follow a certain way of the culture, but then he's going to break off from it at some point.
It'll be like Pentecostal. It'll be like all the religion, half the guilt.
And when's Grogu going to say a word? I mean, like...
Oh, he doesn't need to say words. He's cute. He's cute already. Yeah.
Who's in Pervert are good enough.
I mean, I want to hear him say something.
What are you going to say? Like, hey, are you?
And then he'll be like Gizmo. Bye, Billy. Mogwai. Just waiting for him to say Mogwai.
I mean, like, how... If he's... How old is he right now? 2?
52.
Yeah, 52.
So if he's 52, at what point is he human 1 year?
I don't know. Do the math.
Another generation, I guess.
So what? Hold on. So I would probably say that they age 10 times slower, because Yoda was 900 plus, right? I would think that Yoda was probably about 90 human years. So let's go ahead and calculate that in dog years divided by human years, add the two. I think Grogu's going to start talking a little bit normally, like really soon, because now I'm assuming that he's probably about 5 years old in human years.
Yeah, but he did spend at the time between Return of the
Jedi. In human years, he's got to be like 6 months, because... If he's 52 Yoda years and he can't talk yet, that means he's probably like 6 months old in human years.
Yeah, well, I mean, in contact with anybody after Return of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith.
Maybe he just has been stuck in a capsule
for a long time.
He just needs speech therapy. He needs to talk to someone and just let it out. I know 5 year olds, it took them a while before they started talking. I just think he needs a good therapist. I think that's what has to happen.
He could be, what do you call it? What does our nephews have? Not ADD, but
autistic.
Yeah.
Oh, what if Grogu
the first autistic Jedi
is autistic? I mean, he's not talking. He's hype. Hey, he's hyper focused. Sometimes you see what happens when he hyper focuses. Things start acting up. Wait a minute, dude. What if he is autistic? That's a very good question.
Okay.
AJ's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Grogu is autistic.
All right. Okay.
This is going to go out to the internet. These stupid asses brought up a good point. Grogu is autistic. Dude, look, he hyper focuses. He's still a kid. He's not talking right yet. Hold on, wait a minute here. He's got some signs that he could be on the spectrum, and that's not a bad thing. Some
behavioral issues there.
My nephew needs someone to look up to. Grogu's not a bad choice. Hey, I'm very much okay with that. AJ's like, oh God, stop, please, for the love of God, stop.
You guys say whatever you want to say.
The views expressed on the show are solely that of the show and not of mine, AJ.
Yeah.
Right now, Grogu is autistic.
So what grade are you guys gonna give it?
Amen. Herbs, my dog's autistic. He's nonverbal. It wasn't a bad episode. It wasn't a good episode. I'm gonna. Are we talking comic book grading? I'd probably give it like a
yes.
I give it a 9.2.
Oh, that's pretty good. I thought you were gonna give it like a 7 or something like that.
No. I mean, if we're talking comic book grading on a modern comic that just came out last week, yeah, you know, you take that in for CGC and it comes back at a 9.0, you're gonna be a little like, oh, that sucks. This is a brand new book. I was expecting a 9.8, you know. So I
free screened it and everything, right?
Exactly. Yeah. See, 9.0 for this one.
All right. What about you, Red?
9.6. 9.6.
I'm gonna fall a little bit in between. I would say around 9.2, maybe 9.4.
I really thought you were going to give it a 9.6, 9.8 yourself, just by the way we were talking about it.
No, I mean, 9.6 is like, no, it's not 9.6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. He's like, I really like it. I like this. I like that. And then this part right here, then that part, 9.2.
I
9-4. I said 9-2, 9-4. I'll get. Let's go 9-4.
9-4. I would. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe 9-4 based off of how you're saying. I actually think it would have been like 9-6, but
maybe we lowered the score because we said autism and
don't let me change your idea of what the show should be, AJ. It was just based off of your remarks. I made a guess myself. I apologize.
Well, you said you didn't like it. I thought that would be like a 7 or 8 grade.
That's true. This is true. This is true. See, we're getting back into sync. Yeah, we're reading off of each other. Okay. This is good. This is a good thing. This is part of our therapy right now. Okay, gotcha.
Therapy. Jesus. Well, Red's fixing his hair there. I saw that.
I like it, Red. Go ahead.
We got nothing else. E-Man, what do you got?
So, did you guys talk about this huge rumor that might be coming true about John Bernthal coming back? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, that was a foregone conclusion, if you ask me.
It's on the Hollywood Reporter. I mean, that's pretty much.
What are your guys' thoughts on that right there?
I think that's a great idea for him to bring him back. Because I think he's the epitome of the Punisher. He's the guy. I don't think Dolph Lundgren, and then I forgot who the other guy was that played him.
Thomas Jane? Come on.
Thomas Jane, yeah. John Bernthal is the Punisher for the MCU.
To be fair, I liked every iteration of Punisher, except I never saw Punisher Warzone, so I don't know.
And I've heard that Warzone really wasn't that bad of a movie. I want to go back and watch it.
Cinemax.
No, was it?
No, it went to the theater.
It was a movie theater, yeah. I think it was because of like the Dolph Lundgren version. It got bad flack and not too many people saw it. But the people who actually saw it, they're like, it's really not that bad.
Dolph Lundgren had that great year because he did Masters of the Universe and then Punisher that year.
We reviewed that movie with your brother-in-law, Red. Ryan and Mullet, we ended up reviewing that particular movie and we're like, holy crap, wait a minute. That first Punisher was cringy, but it was fun. I was surprised at how much of a good time I had.
For what it's worth, when I remember watching it as a kid, I liked it.
That was the mid-80s, man. That was consummate 80s action.
It was. That's exactly what we said. We're like, this is like pure 80s goodness with just a had the comic book.
Like Tango and Cash and Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Guns and white guy that's gonna be a hero and then he's gonna rescue the girl.
Very, very Lethal Weapon-ish indeed. It's just we already had a Lethal Weapon, but it was pretty much the same movie. Just with the different, you know, paint on it. But it wasn't bad. And I heard, like I said, Warzone. I actually want to go back because there was two Warzones, right? Wasn't there two with that guy?
I thought it was just one.
It was just one? Okay.
Because they had the Thomas Jane Punisher, then Warzone.
So then let me ask you guys this. If we're getting Punisher back in the MCU and he's gonna show up in Born Again, are we gonna get a rated R version or is this gonna be a PG-13 but still a really good version?
I think if it was going to be a movie, it would have gone rated R, but because it's a Disney Plus show, I don't see it going rated R.
I think they'll touch upon it. They'll graze that.
They'll try to get as close as they can, but yeah.
because TV-14 is just like PG-13 in a sense that they could drop one F-bomb per show.
I think it's more so the violence, though.
Yeah, it'll be TVMA, and they'll probably put a age lock on that.
Yeah, they can't do the violence that you would want in a Punisher.
If Deadpool's gonna be R-rated, they're gonna aim for Punisher to be the same level.
So is this bad for Disney?
No,
that they're gonna be bringing in more violence to a label that is known for kids stuff.
No,
because probably like Red said, there'll be age restriction.
Because plus in other countries have a bigger library and then not worry about the age restrictions for those countries.
True.
Not only that, but it's probably a test market for them. Like this is their testing ground to see if they can do more adult themed shows, movies, and have it on Disney Plus.
It won't be on the main Disney channel. It's gonna be the Disney Plus. It's just for that streaming section of the Disney network.
See, because my solution for the R-rated stuff versus the more PG-13 family friendly toned down stuff was to still have them in the MCU, still have them be a part of the MCU, but separate them just enough so that way you know that they're on a different network by bringing in Punisher maybe like on Hulu or on Fox, so that way they can bring out the violence. It is MCU, but it's not tied to Disney in that sense that, you know, oh, you know, but we saw, you know, Ms. Marvel, like, how can you put Ms. Marvel and Punisher in the same?
Be doing it on U.S. television, but anywhere else, whether it's Hulu or Disney Plus, well, not both of them, that it's going to be on that main network.
So here's a final question about this right here, okay? Symbol, hold on, let me say this again. OG symbol, new symbol, or no symbol for Punisher?
When you say new symbol, are you talking about
the one with the door?
The one on the TV, on the Netflix show, or
no, classic? the new insignia that they have for him in the comics, the one that looks
for the hand, where he's like part of the hand, right?
Yeah, no symbol.
I say symbol. Okay,
you say symbol, I'm sorry. My computer is just giving me this weird security thing right now. You say symbol, but which one? OG? The one that he had at Netflix?
OG, yeah.
Okay. I think I'm with Red. I don't think they're going to bring out a symbol because there's just too much flack behind it. And there's really no need for him to have a symbol in the live action. And if you think about it, it's kind of cheesy, but I also understand it's a staple.
Yeah, but I mean, every Captain America has a symbol. Spider-Man has a symbol. All of them have a symbol. So
yeah, but you don't see some kind of, you know, Blue Lives Matter, you know, whatever, wannabe vigilante guys out in the real world.
Well, yeah, now you're talking about the politics of it, but you're saying, I was more answering towards E-Man saying it's a little cheesy. Well,
that's why they've got characters
already with symbols. So
yeah,
politics aside, I understand that
they do have the characters with the symbols. True, but those are, look at them. You know, it's Captain America. Dun, 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 you know, like it's very. But Punisher's he symbolizes something differently in the Marvel comics, right? He symbolizes vengeance. You know, he is anger, he is negative, he's turned like the negativity into a positive, I guess, if you think about it that way, because he's using that negative energy to pretty much get rid of all the bad guys, right? Is that something that Disney's going to want to pursue in Disney Plus? You know, do they want that kind of message being sent out?
I mean, for all we know, they may never even have an actual Punisher TV show, but he'll be featured in different storylines, right? I mean, that could be it.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear that John Bernthal is coming back. There's rumors of Mike Coltier and Kristen Ritter hanging out again, showing, you know, possibility of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones coming back. So I'm liking the direction that Disney is going by keeping the original Netflix Defenders.
We're also getting a Ben Affleck in, what do you call it, in Secret Wars.
Oh, I heard about that. That's right. But that's Secret Wars. That's you know, multiverse stuff. You know, we're going to be. I think
you believe that. You actually believe that?
Froggy Nelson, which is Jon Favreau, into that universe as well. That way, Froggy Nelson and Happy. We'll be in the same scene.
I think though, with the whole multiverse thing, even though it feels like, oh no, DC technically is the first one to do it. If you think about it, because they did it in The Flash. So I think the whole multiverse aspect of the MCU and DC, I think DC is going to come out on top with that topic. I think their movies are going to be better with that topic of the multiverse rather than Marvel. I'm glad that Bob Iger is coming back to check Marvel and letting him stop, slow it down, bring out the quality that we had before when I was here. And I like that. So I'm looking forward to what Iger is going to do with Marvel. He's already canceled a bunch of movies. Like, did you hear that he canceled Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie and Patty Jenkins' Star Wars movie, and Rian Johnson's trilogy might not even be made? because there's just too much garbage being made right now. They're just pumping out stuff. It's like straight pump and dump. And Iger straight said, calm the shit down. Let's bring it back. And I like that. I really do.
I saw an article. I don't know how, where they were saying that Star Trek is starting to surpass Star Wars as far as like popularity. I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, Picard's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's, I think, another Star Trek show that's coming out that's along those lines. And a lot of the Trekkies are really enjoying that right now.
Let's be real. Like Star Trek, they it's not as action-packed maybe as Star Wars, but it does have good character development and great characters on there. Good acting, right?
And it was all about it. It was nice because it was very much about saving the universe. It was discovery. It was getting to know. It was partnering up. It was a lot of that. And there was a lot of positivity with that. Star Wars. Shit. Well, Star Wars is gone somewhere else.
Star Trek is story driven and political and whatever. And Star Wars is mostly just lasers and laser swords and action.
Pew,
laser swords. Pew!
Well, does it turn on? Does it turn
on? Oh, your battery's dead.
No, it's on. It's just I haven't been able to get the sound back up.
What color is it supposed to be?
Right now it's supposed to be yellow. So hold on.
That's what it looks like.
Right now it's supposed to be yellow. But like I pressed the button like one time. Oh, there. And then it changes. Yellow, green. Hold on. Watch this. So I won this from like a crew from some guy that I met at the Fan Expo that I went with Rodney. Matter of fact, when I went with Rodney a couple of weeks ago, and I went to the East Bay Comic Con, I met someone there, signed up with his YouTube channel, and they do all the Star Wars stuff. And like he did a drawing that night, and I ended up winning. I was like, "Oh, that's dope!" So I ended up winning. And it's cool because that lightsaber right there, like you could actually fight with, so I can smack the kids around and not worry about anything.
Most lightsabers now are battle tested.
Well, like the one that I have behind me, the one that that Jadrian and Jacob got me, this one here. I can't do that with that one. That one's like the one that they got at Galaxy's Edge. School. So it's like so it's really just for looks. Like
there should be two. There should be the hilt that you could use to swing around. But then the actual two with the light, there's the battle one, and then there's the just decorative
one. That one that I just showed you is one that people actually use to battle and do their thing. Oh, it's nice. Really fun. It's really cool.
It has to be perfectly balanced.
All right. Well, I don't got nothing else to say. Do you guys have anything else to put out there?
There's a lot that we all need to talk about, and man, where's Luke? I really wish Luke was here, but. Next week. I think next week there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for next week. Red, anything you want to say?
Bear. We need to go. That's the next homework is watch Cocaine Bear.
I want to watch Cocaine Bear. That one looks crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, guys, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back next week. Hopefully, the whole gang will be in. All right.
Deuces.
Peace out.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Sealess Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at sealessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Sealess Villains and Sealess Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts at Luke Weeks, at Sealess Villainous Red, at Sealess E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next time.